Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. Tim with Walker, Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman, and Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
So the Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats have announced impeachment as their goal of President Trump now, right?
There is a question as to whether yesterday's announcement of impeachment inquiry is really moving the ball forward, or whether it's just Nancy Pelosi satisfying or trying to speak to her base. Because remember, Nadler was doing impeachment inquiry for weeks. It could be very well argued that everything the Democrats have been doing for 2 years has been an impeachment inquiry. Nonetheless, they are officially in an impeachment inquiry mode. Yes.
Which is the equivalent of dropping a nuclear bomb into the political process.
Oh, it's very serious. Impeachment.
So I think I understand what you're saying, but I think she calculated yesterday and she's all in. By she, I mean Nancy Pelosi. So as the expression in sports is, it's on. And if you you know, they're going to go after President Trump on a phone call he had with the newly elected president of the Ukraine. And we were reading the transcript, which the White House released this morning.
Yes, it did.
And what are they going to? What's good? Fill us in. What's the latest?
Well, I wanted to bring some of the reaction we're seeing toward this transcript. And I wanted to start with the president, who, and this is after Nancy Pelosi's impeachment announcement yesterday, and some of the tweets that he has
sent out.
What are
they saying he did? He sold drugs to the Ukraine? Or
no, yes. They are saying that what the Democrats are saying, and they are still saying it even after seeing this transcript, is that President Trump strong-armed, this is the Democrats speaking, strong-armed the president of Ukraine to start an investigation into Joe Biden's son, who was a player in a Ukrainian business. And
the one that Biden, Joe Biden, strong-armed to get rid of the prosecutor?
The one.
Same Ukrainian government?
Well, it was a new leader.
No, it wasn't strong-armed. He said
he fired. Was the old leader.
He said, if you don't fire him, you're not getting the $1 billion.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Gotcha.
So anyway, I've got something coming up that's just going to blow you away, I think. But let me get to this first. Donald Trump tweeted out after the announcement of impeachment inquiry. He said, quote, this is his tweet, such an important day at the United Nations, so much work and so much success, and the Democrats purposefully had to ruin and demean it with more breaking news, witch hunt garbage, so bad for our country. Then later, Pelosi, Nadler, Schiff, and, of course, Maxine Waters. Can you believe this? Talking about the committee chairman that Pelosi had empowered to start an impeachment inquiry. And then he tweets out, they never even saw the transcript of the call. A total witch hunt, which they hadn't. And then in all caps, as he gets more and more exercised, presidential harassment. And then finally, Secretary of State Pompeo received permission from Ukraine government to release the transcript of the telephone I had with their president. They don't know either. That is a big they don't know either what the big deal is, a total witch hunt scam by the Democrats. However, our good friend AOC decided to tweet out today, and this is what she said. I'm surprised the White House even released the transcript. It's worse than we thought. You know, you just say something, and if you say it loud enough and long enough, and you're high enough profile, it gets entered into the fact database, or at least it's debatable now.
Sure.
Not worse. It's nothing, but it's worse than we thought.
Worse than what? She didn't say what was worse than we thought.
The transcript is worse than we thought.
Yeah, but
the
collusion, she didn't say what part of the transcript.
The high crimes and misdemeanor and the gun pointed at the Ukrainian's head. It's worse than we thought, she says. And I want you to listen to a little bit about how seriously the Democrats are taking this. This is Steny Hoyer, according to Fox's Chad Pergram. Steny Hoyer on the timing of impeachment. Says the House is not going to cancel its upcoming two-week recess. They don't have a timeline. They think it's important for members to go home to their constituents and explain what they're doing. In other words, we've got to justify this. And then Hoyer said, We will continue to work with this president to accomplish objectives for the American people. Oh, yeah, we're going to still work on the legislative agenda. Mm-hmm. What do you think the president, how much time he's going to sit down with the people that are trying to kick him out of office and talk about, I don't know, infrastructure? They are deluded. And then this. This is from the Washington Post editorial board. No fan of President Trump. The Washington Post editorial board says there are others who have some explaining to do. It almost got no attention, but in May, CNN reported that Senators Robert Menendez of New Jersey, Richard Durbin of Illinois, and Patrick Leahy of Vermont wrote a letter to Ukraine's Prosecutor General Yuri Lutsenko expressing concern at the closing of four investigations they said were critical to the Mueller probe. In the letter, they implied that their support for U.S. assistance to Ukraine was at stake. They described themselves as strong advocates for a robust and close relationship with Ukraine. The Democrat senators declared, quote, "We have supported the capacity building program and are disappointed that some in Kyiv appear to have cast aside these Democrat principles to avoid the ire of President Trump before demanding Lutsenko reverse course and halt any efforts to impede cooperation with this important investigation." Democrats pressuring.
Where did you find that?
This is the Washington Post. It's the editorial from the editorial board says Democrats double standard on
Ukraine.
They
do the same thing.
They did
the same thing. Those senators, which are high-profile senators and the Democrats, current senators,
yes,
did the very thing that they're accusing the president of doing.
They did exactly what they're accusing the president of doing, which is
they said
we want to aid you, but you know what? You've got some investigations going on that could
hurt Trump, and we need to know about it.
And
if you don't, we might take your money away.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Having stipulations on foreign money, on whether we're going to give aid to a country,
pretty
normal. Standard operating procedure. And
yeah, but they would say it's inappropriate to use that. How do I divide this? Inappropriate to use that, inappropriate if you're going after your political opponent just for those purposes and not for the best interest of the country. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what they would say.
Yeah.
But that is, President Trump, I mean, they're doing the same. They were looking up for dirt. These Democrat senators were doing the same thing they're accusing Trump of doing.
But president, I don't think President Trump should overlook the corruption and the possible criminal activity by the Clintons and the Bidens,
yeah,
just because they're the Clintons and the Bidens.
True.
And, you know, because one of President Trump's family members or sons did something criminal, people shouldn't shut down the investigation or not mention it just because it's the Trumps.
There was a lot of shady dealings, alleged interference in our elections coming from Ukraine. And it was one of the reasons that they have a new leader, and he has promised to look into this. So if in looking into the election interference into the United States election in the Ukraine, if the Ukrainian justice system finds things, let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, and you know what's so funny? Let's just assume that the Democrat narrative has some standing when it comes to President Trump shouldn't have said anything about Biden's son being investigated in a phone call as president, blah, blah, blah. Let's just say for the sake of discussion, let's just accept that maybe wasn't the best thing to do. Well, that's exactly what Hillary Clinton's campaign did and the DNC when they paid a foreign operative, Christopher Steele, a British intelligence officer, to write oppo research on Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they did. They paid a foreign entity to do oppo research on an opposing candidate. So
that's exactly what that was.
All right. Next story.
The GOP has introduced a resolution to remove Jerry Nadler as Judiciary Panel Chairman because of this impeachment probe. This is a proceeding by Lance.
They want to impeach the impeacher?
Say again?
They're wanting to impeach the impeacher?
Well, the
Republicans are wanting to kick out the
Nadler. for Adler. Trying to impeach Trump.
Am I the only one who gets my own joke right there?
Well, yeah, I know you do, but it is kind of a joke because this has been the complaint for conservatives about the Republican Party for a while. You dismantle our government and you throw our duly elected president out of office, and by goodness, we're going to take away his chairman leadership.
Yeah.
But anyway.
That's not going to work.
It's not, and it's in the House, and it's not going to pass, but it is symbolic.
Yeah.
I want to change courses just a little bit, and I want to talk about what's been going on in the Ways and Means Committee. The American Family Association has an action alert on this. I'll just set this up, Tim, and then I'd like to hear what you have
to say. We talked about it last hour.
Did you? You're done with it?
To scoop you, yeah. Oh. Sorry, but you can. Have you put that on our Facebook page?
Not yet.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, though, for bringing it up, Steve. It's about the.
I was told to bring it in.
You did. You did the right thing, and I was telling you before you got started on that last hour we talked about it. Brent will put it up on our Today's Issues Facebook page.
Right.
But it's a story about the Democrat-controlled House and Ways Subcommittee, Ways and Means Subcommittee in Washington, D.C. And in one of their meetings, I guess, they discussed revoking the tax-exempt status for certain groups because they were hate groups, and we were one of the ones that they named as a hate group because they said we had reported on the health dangers of engaging in homosexual behavior.
Yeah.
That makes us a hate group. So anyway, we're going to put that up on our Facebook page, but moving right along.
All right. An interesting exchange happening on CNN as they're covering all this impeachment stuff. For some reason, something slipped through the cracks and CNN actually had a Trump supporter on as a guest. the CEO of Newsmax. His name is Chris Ruddy. And he was on with Don Lemon. And I want you to hear how he challenges Don Lemon and how this goes. This is cut 9.
I think everyone agrees that it should be investigated.
That's Lemon.
It should be a thoughtful investigation. You thought the Mueller should be investigated. The collusion thing, that took 2 years, $50 million. I could tell you 12 headlines from CNN and other media that never came out to be true. And at the end of the day, there was no collusion, right? I think we both agree. The Mueller report was definitive.
It never said no collusion. We're not talking about
it. It was very definitive.
But my point is, we're now
3 days into this, and we already have an impeachment process underway. I think today was a bad day for the president.
But the president could not be charged.
I also think it was a bad day for the Democrats. And really, it's a bad day for all of us in America that a president is. Here we are in the middle of United Nations Week, where the president is trying to show a unified nation to the world. And the Democrats in Washington are talking about impeaching him on basically hearsay or something Joe Biden. For the very thing that Biden did, where he was trying to push out a prosecutor, you don't show that clip many times on CNN.
But we're not here to talk
about. You know what I'm talking about.
We're not here to talk about Joe Biden because none of that has been.
You don't want to talk about anything that's a counter narrative.
That's a good
point.
Yeah.
Did we ever find that video I was talking about last hour on Biden?
We played it.
You played it.
Yeah.
We played it. Excuse me, I've forgotten. Anyway, that's what he was talking. That's what he was referencing. that CNN won't show this.
It's so true.
They don't talk about it.
And Don Lemon kind of stumbled and stammered.
You know,
this is so. That was CNN.
This
by
is
the way.
So I don't know, crazy if you will, because the Democrats launched a so-called impeachment inquiry yesterday. They don't even have the votes to impeach him.
Yeah.
And they haven't. Brought up the resolution on the floor. There is no impeachment inquiry until they vote on a resolution on the floor.
Oh, really?
Opening the impeachment inquiry, and that hasn't happened yet because they don't have the votes.
Yeah,
so they have to have 2/3 of the vote of the House, right?
No, a majority of the House, 2/3.
Okay.
Of the
to open to open the inquiry, but to officially impeach, yes, you do need 2/3.
But you're saying even though the Democrats control the House, they don't have the votes yet to do this?
No, they don't have the votes yet. There's a rolling.
They got to be close, though.
Well, they're probably close, but Drudge.
All they need is a majority.
Drudge has been keeping a rolling count of how many people have said, I'm willing to impeach. And right now, they're at 208 who have publicly said, I'm willing to impeach.
How many you
got to
have? Well, like 225, 230?
Yeah, I think 216 or 217 is the majority. So they're not far away. But my point is, Pelosi comes out, does this big video press conference we're getting ready to impeach, but they don't even have their party on board yet.
She specifically used the term police impeachment inquiry several times. And again, this is kind of what I was thinking at the top of the half hour here, that it could be argued that Pelosi was kind of giving her more strident members some cover or pandering to them a little bit without actually doing anything on impeachment, because articles of impeachment are ready. Certainly Al Green has them. Certainly the California congresswoman that told everybody to go hit Maxine Waters has them ready to go. If they wanted to introduce impeachment, which would be the start of an official impeachment investigation, they could.
Yes, that's right.
For some reason, I'm thinking it takes two-thirds of the House, maybe not to open up an inquiry for impeachment, but to actually impeach a city.
That's correct. That's in the Constitution.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Okay. Two-thirds of both chambers to officially impeach a president.
But you're talking about something separate. You're talking about to open up an investigation, I guess is what we're talking about, would only require a
majority.
Majority of the House, but still require...
Just a simple majority.
It doesn't even have to do anything with the Senate, I don't think.
No, the House, independent of the Senate...
Senate has to vote on it eventually.
Well, they're not going to get two-thirds.
Impeachment has to originate in the House.
It does, but the Senate has to vote on it before the president is kicked out of office.
The Senate holds the trial.
Right. Politically, this is a net loss for the Democrats.
Yeah, I agree.
This is why Nancy Pelosi resisted this all along until now, fending off her crazy left crowd in her own caucus, her own party, because she knew it was a loser. I guess she she finally couldn't take the pressure anymore. They wouldn't quit knocking on her door. By they, I mean the AOC type, you know, the left wing in the Democrat Party, which is, they're all left wing, but some of them are left, and they control the party. She said this is going to be a winner for us. We go forward with this, and without ever seeing the transcript, that's kind of what is hard to believe. Why couldn't you wait a couple of days? Nancy Pelosi and company, they decided to go full on impeachment, which is, as I said, the equivalent of dropping the nuclear bomb. Full on impeachment before they even had all the facts.
Which goes to your point earlier in the show that this is all political.
Right.
It didn't matter what was really in the transcript. Completely irrelevant.
Right. Well, they started backpedaling that one yesterday.
Yeah, they just used that because it was
It's the "we hate Trump's guts." That's what they're saying. And we don't care that's the reason for impeachment.
Exactly. Yeah. So. Exactly.
All right.
I want to talk about this is a little bit of a sign of our times, how social media is kind of turning us all into terrible people. And it starts with a sign. Do you ever watch Game Day on ESPN where those guys go out to a stadium and everybody's in the background holding up signs and everything, and usually it's, go
college,
Bruins.
College Game Day, yeah.
Well, a 24-year-old named Carson King came with a sign, and it said basically, "Help me supply." He says, the sign said, "I'm out of beer. Donate money so I can buy my beer supply." And everybody thought it was kind of funny. And he actually got a couple $100. And he tells himself, well, this was a joke. I wasn't, I just wanted to be kind of silly and funny. So he said, fine, I don't need near that much beer. So I'm donating the money to cancer research, to a children's cancer hospital, the University of Iowa Stead Children's Hospital. Well, the beer company and Vimeo thought that was great, and they said they'd match any donations. And the donations to that hospital through this gentleman, 24-year-old Carson King, got up to about $1 million that was going to more than $1 million.
Wow.
Well, the Des Moines Register is going to do a profile on this guy. And so, of course, they went back to all of his tweets and all of his social media.
Uh-oh.
Turns out when he was 16, he had some tweets that tinged on racism. Now,
how old is the man?
He's 24.
But what does that have to do with him donating money?
Nothing. It's this journalism.
You're saying, Okay.
It's journalism of destruction. Now, the Des Moines Register has this whole a letter from their editor saying we agonized over this and should we say anything about it and everything. And it doesn't. This is, you know what? I don't know what they were planning to do, but they ruined this guy's life because he wanted to donate $1 million to cancer research. He's just being a good guy.
Yeah.
This is what they do. They did this with Kavanaugh. Yeah. They went back and found things from his past. They're doing it with all these other
allegedly done. Yeah.
I tell you, two lessons. What's on the internet stays on the internet, and how mean can we get?
Yeah, to go back that far.
And even if it's not that far, 16 is 16. It's not 24.
8 years. 8 years. But yeah. Go back to your teenage years, find dirt.
Yeah. So it's just sad.
They were doing that against somebody the other day who was like 60, I saw in some case. They went back to his teenage years to find something. Yeah. It was a high profile person. I'll think of it in a minute. What do you got left in the news?
I got one thing left. Walker, I'm going to teach you some facts about guns. Can I do that? Because I know that you've only been working with them for years.
Teach me.
But there's got to be things you don't know. Actually, Sheila Jackson Lee is going to teach you some things.
Who's she?
She is a Democrat congresswoman from Texas. Now, I want you to hear what she has to say about the AR-15. This is cut, whatever.
I've held an AR-15 in my hand. I wish I had it. It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving. And the bullet that is utilized, a 50 caliber, these kinds of bullets, need to be licensed and do not need to be on the streets.
Did you know that an AR-15 was as heavy as 10 moving boxes? You got to be a monster.
Depends on what you got in the boxes. If they're empty, that might be accurate. But
that's true.
No, those.
Is she not using a metaphor there?
No.
They're as heavy as 10 moving boxes.
I've never
boxes.
Heard that as a metaphor. I'm just trying to...
To your point, though, these people have never, probably rarely touched guns in their life. They're not gun fanatics. Some of them aren't even gun owners.
Gun enthusiasts.
Yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't believe they fire 50 caliber rounds. I read somewhere that they can be modified to do those, maybe in the Army.
50 caliber is a big
huge.
Round, my friend.
Yeah.
And
so you're saying she doesn't know... She's talking about something she doesn't know anything about.
No clue.
Yeah,
but if it sounds scary,
and that's like them calling semi-automatic rifles assault rifles. That's factually inaccurate.
Right.
An assault rifle is used in the military overseas. Illegal right. in the U.S. It's an automatic rifle.
Yes.
And
I just like I said earlier, I wish we would all maybe just take off our pretense. Especially for the Democrats, but you know, I mean, I guess sometimes we all can do that and just admit what is the fact, what is really behind things. So, Sheila Jackson Lee, the Democrat liberal congresswoman from the Houston area, she's against guns altogether. All right. She's against the Second Amendment, as Beto O'Rourke is, and almost all the Democratic candidates. So I wish they would just say we're for repealing the Second Amendment because we don't believe it's good for our country, rather than say, well, we need to outlaw this gun because it weighs too much.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
That, you know, you're just trying to find a reason to do something
yeah.
when you just need to state clearly your opposition to guns and the Second Amendment, which we all know is that's where you're going
yeah,
with this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Steve? Walker, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thanks to Brent. Go to our Facebook page for all the stories we talked about today. Today's Issues Facebook page. And we'll see you back here tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.